Tonight, if you have your copy of the Voice of God, I want you to turn with me to Psalm 51. Psalm 51. I want to read 17 verses in this chapter, Psalm 51. An older preacher was talking to a younger preacher. He said, always read a long text. And he said, why? He said, because something you say will be right. Amen. So I'm going to read a lengthy text tonight. I want to speak to you on this subject. The cry of King David. The cry of King David. Psalm 51. Verse 1, the Bible says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then, underline that word, highlight it, put an asterisk beside of it, make a mental note. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltness, O God. Thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would have given it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. God can and will restore the joy of his salvation to all believers who will confess and repent of their sin, and revival, the revival we need, can be the results thereof. In this psalm, we have an inside view of a man bearing his soul in confession to God after an encounter in sin and failure with Bathsheba. Because he wanted the joy of God's salvation restored to him. It's a psalm that we can all identify with because we all sin, fail, and lose our joy periodically, and that's why we need revival in the church that will flood into the world, and a heap or a multitude of lost souls can be swept into the kingdom of God. Let's examine and learn from three cries that King David made in his request for the Lord to restore his joy. Number one, David's cry for pardon from sin, found in verses 1 through 9. Number two, David's cry for purity of heart, found in verses 10 through 12a. And then finally, David's cry for power to serve, 12b through verse 17. Notice with me, if you will, first of all, David's cry for pardon from sin. It's found in verses 1 through 9, but just before I bring some thoughts to you, let's set the stage. David has sinned against a holy and a righteous and a just God by sleeping with Bathsheba. And for almost a year now, he's been miserable, but not really realizing what he had done. And Nathan comes to him, and he points his bony finger in the king's face. And he tells a little story, and when he told the story, it made the king mad. And then Nathan said to him, "You're the man." And David began to realize that Nathan had pointed out by God's authority his sin with Bathsheba. But I want us to think about sin for a moment. It seems to me that we've come to a day where people don't even acknowledge sin anymore and just live in it like it's okay. But I want to talk to you for just a moment about sin. Now listen to me. Sin is anything that is contrary to what the Word of God condemns or forbids. Think about that for a moment. Sin is anything that is contrary to what the Word of God commands or forbids. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4, sin is a transgression of the law. Now, he's not talking about the law of the Old Testament in its entirety. He's talking about the whole Word of God. If you transgress against the law of God, that means if you don't do what he told you to do and you do what he told you not to do, then ladies and gentlemen, that's sin. It's always easy for us to talk about what they're doing. Have you ever noticed that? They're into this sin. They're into that sin. They're doing this and they're doing that. Why look down our nose at them because of their sin when we're not doing what God told us to do and we're just in sin as much as they are? Now, let me illustrate. If we leave here tonight and go to the first stop sign that we come to, and we just blink our lights and we go on through that stop sign, what have we done? We have transgressed the law of the state of North Carolina, and we're guilty if the patrolman pulls us over with the siren and gives us a ticket. Can I get an amen? Amen. If you're speeding down the highway and the patrolman pulls up behind you and he turns that blue light on and he gets out and he said, "Are you going to a fire?" And you said, "No." He said, "Well, I thought you was." And he writes you a ticket. How can he write you a ticket? Because you have transgressed the law of the state of North Carolina. Now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. The Bible says in 1 John 5:17. All unrighteousness is sin. All unrighteousness is sin. Now listen to me carefully. That means tonight, if you're not doing what the Bible tells you you ought to be doing, you're living in sin. And if you're doing what the Bible tells you not to do, then you're still living in sin. And you say, "Well, Preacher Parker, tell me why sin is, why is it so important that you talk about sin?" The reason we're in the mess tonight, we're in the church and the world, is because of our sin. I read today that God didn't have to chastise us for our sins chastise us within it. Amen? And we're self-destructing because of sin. King David, you're the man. And I want to say to us tonight, we're the people. And I want you to listen
not to a peon, but I want you to listen to the king of Israel, the man after God's own heart. Listen to him as he begins to cry for pardon from sin. Notice his prayer, first of all, of humility. Notice what the Bible says here in verse 1 and 2. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. O God, tonight do that. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Can you see the king getting down on his face before God Almighty and beginning to cry out, O God, have mercy upon me? In humility, he knows he sinned. He says, blot out my transgression. Wash me from all of my iniquities. I'm not talking about a peon tonight. I'm talking about the king of Israel. Amen. He begins to cry out in humility. I said this the other night, and I want to say it again. Our problem in America and our problem in the churches is pride. And we need to repent of it. And we need to humble ourselves before God Almighty and beg Him for His forgiveness. And guess what? He'll forgive you. Amen. Number two, not only do I want you to see His prayer of humility, and James again reminds us, as I said the other night, if you'll humble yourself before the Lord, He'll lift you up. But I want you to notice, secondly, His confession. It's found in verses 3 through 6. Watch what He says now carefully. For I acknowledge my transgression. In other words, He's saying to you, I know, I agree with you that I've sinned. And my sin is ever before me. And there's a lot of folks sitting here tonight that your sin is before you, and you need to do something about it. Against thee, the only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clean or clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity. In sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Confession. Let's think about that word just momentarily. What does the word confess mean? What does the word confession mean? It means that I agree with God. Now, if God knows you've sinned, you might as well agree with Him, because He already knows, and all you can do to get right is confess it. Amen? The Bible says in 1 John 1 and 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I want to say to you tonight that the blood that was shed at Calvary is a spot remover for the saints of God. Raymond, I can't hardly eat anymore. I've got a little older since I seen you last. And my wife will buy me new ties. And just as soon as we get to the restaurant, it becomes an old tie because it's got a spot on it. But I got one of those Tide sticks. And we go through the process of getting that stain off of my tie where it looks new again. Amen. I'm glad, thank God tonight, that the blood that Jesus shed at Calvary is a spot remover. My sins are forgiven, but when I break fellowship, I'm glad He takes that tie, and I'm glad He takes that stick, and I'm glad He cleanses that spot when I confess it. Amen. When I agree with Him, God, I've sinned. You know, I hear this prayer all over Baptist churches. God, if I've sinned. Think about that. I would call it something, but it wouldn't be nice. But all of us ought to have more sense than that. If I've sinned. Honey, you've sinned. And I've sinned. And we've sinned. So we just need to say to Him, like King David, I've sinned. And tell Him what you've done. He already knows that He'll agree with you and He'll do something about it. How you know, preacher? Well, look at what the Bible says here. Humility, number one. Confession. But I also see here in verses 7 through 9, he has a faith, King David has a faith for forgiveness. How do I know that? Look at verses 7 through 9. He said, purge me with hyssop. And when you do that, what did he say? I shall be clean. He says, wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. He says, make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out now my iniquities. Oh, church, hear me tonight. I'm about to get loose. I want you to tell you something tonight. It's high time we as the church get in an old-fashioned altar and begin to confess our sins, which God already knows and we know, and we need to believe that he can cleanse us from every sin and set us right again. And honey, when you leave here right, you'll know it. Hear me. Hear me well tonight. And in that faith for forgiveness, there must be that element of repentance. You know, if you come up here and ask God tonight to forgive you of your sin, and you confess it to him, and you ask for forgiveness, and you get up and go out and go right back to the same sin, he didn't forgive you. You say, oh, yes, he did. Oh, no, he didn't. You say, how do you know? What you call the Bible teaches me this. Oh, I didn't get much there. Oh! They'll come back and do it again next week. If I sin. Honey, if you've sinned, you know it because the Holy Spirit will let you, he'll ring your bell and let you know that he's done it. Amen? Listen to me tonight. It's time we get serious, folks. We're crumbling from within. And it's because of our sin. And payday has come. And we need to understand that. But all tonight, I want to say to you, we ought to have faith to believe that he will forgive us of our sins. And we ought to confess our sins. And we ought to turn from our sins, as I showed you the other night. Just do an about face, click your heels, and go on for the glory of God. David, you've sinned against a holy God. And he begins to cry for pardon of his sin. Let me move to a second thing that I want you to see. David's cry for purity of heart. Now, he's already said blot. He's already said wash. He's already said cleanse. He's already said purge. He's already said make. He's already said hide. Now and blot again in verse 9. Notice what he says in verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Notice that he asked God to do it. He didn't ask the president. He didn't ask the Senate. He didn't ask the Congress. He didn't go to the courts. He said, God, I want you to do what? Create in me a clean heart. Now, what does that phraseology mean? That phraseology means this. Give me a heart that's void of sin. Clean, pure before you. And you say, preacher, can I have that? Sure you can. It takes a lot of confessing because there's a lot of sin going on. But every time you confess and you turn from it, he'll forgive you of it. Amen? And he'll create in you a clean heart. And then he said something else. And a right spirit. Now, what does a right spirit mean? It means a spirit to follow him. Didn't he tell Peter that?
Yes.
Follow me. Peter, follow me. He didn't say follow the world and the culture.
That's right.
Oh, can I get a little help? Wake up. It's not time to go to sleep yet. Listen to me tonight. We need to understand that we have to cry out to God to give us a right spirit and empower us with his spirit that we might follow him. And ladies and gentlemen, it's not going to get any easier, so you might as well ask him tonight because it's going to get tough before he comes back. But that's on agenda, and I'm going to talk about that tomorrow night. A right spirit. Let me ask you something. How do we get real personal with you tonight? Following God. This is no peon. This is the King of Israel, the man after God's own heart. But notice the second thing that he does here. He says, cast not away thy spirit from me. Look at verse 11. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Now think about that for a moment. Think about what it's saying. In that day, the Old Testament, before the day of grace and the coming of the Holy Spirit as we know him today, the Spirit of God came upon a man. And when God was using that man, if he sinned, the Spirit of God would leave that man. And he would be without that power. He would be without that presence. He would be without that he needs to do what God wants him to do. And David says, please, 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 O Lord, give me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Now let me apply that to today. You know that at the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came, filled those in the upper room, and everybody saved from then and then was filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And I want to say to you tonight in passing, he has sealed you if you've really been born again. Not if you say you've been born again. But if you've really been born again, he sealed you until the day of redemption. He cannot leave you. But you and I can grieve him, and we can quench him, and we can lose our fellowship with him. And that's what happens when we let known sin come into our lives and stay there. We can pray all we want to. We can be religious all we want to. We can be baptized 1,000 times and we can join the church 150 times. But I want to say something to you tonight. If you don't confess that sin and repent of it, you've got him grieved and you're bringing pain to the heart of God. And the only way you can have fellowship with him is fall somewhere on your face before him and do like King David say, have mercy on me. Oh, listen to me. Our churches are full of people who say they're Christians, and just as soon as they leave these doors, they go back to the same lifestyle they had when they came in it. And then we wonder why we don't have any power. Why we're in the mess we're in. Let me just clue you in tonight again. It's because of our sins. You say, no, preacher, it's not because of my sin. Oh, yes, it is. The wages of our sin has come home, and death's going to follow. Listen to me. Why don't we just walk with the Lord and do what he tells us to do and have joy and peace and have a song in our heart and a spring in our step and enjoy the things of the Lord? You say, Preacher Parker, I don't know whether I can do that or not. Ever since he saved me 37 years ago, I'm still excited almost as much as Raymond about being a born-again Christian. Amen. Now, Raymond's a little younger, but he's learning. He's jumping down. It's hurting them hips. I know he's going to realize one day what I've been trying to teach him all, but he'll go out of here and shout in the blaze of glory. I know. Every bone in his body will hurt, but he'll leave here with it. Amen. Well, hear me tonight, church. I'm serious. We're in deep weeds. This great nation, as I said on Monday night, and the churches of America needs something to happen. And if it don't happen pretty soon, I believe the full judgment of God's coming on America. You say, I don't believe that. It's already here and the worst part's yet to come. Amen. And you can tell anybody I said that, you have my permission. Amen. Listen to me. Then he says something else that I want you to look at very carefully. He said, come and restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Look with me, if you will, at verse 12, the first part of it. David says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Now look at that word, restore. Now, if I understand that word means that he had it, but he lost it, and he wants it back. School teachers, help me. Give me amen right there. Is that right? Amen. Preacher's wife said amen. That settles it. She said amen. That settles it. It means I want back that which I have lost. Amen. Have you ever wondered why we've got so many grouchy people in the church?
Yes, yes. Amen.
Have you ever wondered why Christian people grumble and grudge and fuss
over nothing? All build long.
People that want to go through life miserable. I just don't understand that. When you can have joy, when you can have fulfillment, when you can have abundance, when you can have all of heaven as everything you need, and you can rejoice and praise God in it. My, my. 36 years, I won't go there. But my Vietnam experience and coming home in miserable years in my life, when God saved me, I made up my mind I wasn't going back there with His help. And I've been rejoicing ever since, Brother Jesse. Amen. I praise the Lord for saving me. I praise the Lord for what He's done in my life. And I want to continue to enjoy Him and praise Him tonight. Amen. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. David's cry for pardon from sin. But secondly, he cried for purity of heart. Now lastly, let me say this to you. David's cry for power to serve. David's cry for power to serve. Now let me make this statement before I go any further. You can't do anything for God yourself.
Amen.
You say, what do you mean, preacher? I mean just exactly what I said.
Amen.
You can't do anything for God yourself. Only God can do what God wants to do through a clean vessel.
Amen.
Amen? Now think with me, very briefly, if that's possible, about four or five things I want to say here about this last point. David's cry for power to serve. Number one, notice what he said. He said, I will teach transgressors thy ways. Look at what the Bible says in the latter part of verse 12 and verse 13. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. Now this is the word I ask you to notice. Then, after all this, after you've done God what needs to be done, after I confess and do all I need to do, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. What's David saying? David's saying, now that you've washed me, I want to tell others about what you've done for me. I want to tell them that you are holy, that you are righteous, that you are just God, and that you've sent your power and you've cleansed my life. And I want to tell others how they can be clean and how they can follow you and how they can have joy in their lives. Let me ask you something. Have you told anybody about Jesus in the last week? Have you told anybody about Jesus in the last 6 months? Have you told anybody about Jesus in the last year? Do you know that only 2% of the 17 billion Southern Baptists, only 2% tell others about Jesus? And then we wonder why we can't get the world saved and into the church. If you don't tell them, they don't know, because the Bible says faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. David said, when you get me cleaned up, the first thing I'm going to do is tell somebody else about who you are and what you've done for me. Amen? You say, but now preacher, I'm not gifted that way. The Bible don't say you're gifted that way. The Bible commands you to do it.
Amen.
Whether you like it or whether you don't like it, the Bible still says you're a witness for the Lord. That's what it says. Acts 1:8. Amen? Then will I teach others about what you've done for me. But notice secondly, he said, I will sing aloud of thy righteousness. Notice what he says in verse 14. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. What's he saying there? He's saying, I'll brag about how you forgive me of my sin of adultery with Bathsheba. He said, I'll tell them that not only will you forgive them of their sins that be their lie, he said, I'll tell them how you forgave me. Let me ask you something tonight. Have you ever shared with anybody in your lifetime how Jesus Christ came into your life and how he forgave you of your sins and gave you a right heart and a clean spirit, and ever since then you've been different? And if you're not different, honey, you didn't get it. Think about it. Listen to him. I will teach transgressors thy way. I will sing aloud of thy righteousness. Then he says in verse 15, something I want you to notice, the latter part of verse 14 and verse 15, he who said, I will show forth thy praise. Now, watch what he says here in the latter part of verse 14 and verse 15. My tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. Now, we've heard that tonight, amen, with the choir. Every choir this week has done a tremendous job of lifting up the Lord Jesus and bringing honor and praise to him, leading us in worship. But notice verse 15 with me. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. Now let me read that again to make sure I read it correctly. Listen to what it says. O Lord, open thou my lips, you got it? And my mouth shall show forth thy praise. We have hung our harp on the willow, and we have nothing to sing about. And I'll tell you why. We've lost our shout. Oh, can I get a little help? You say, but old preacher, I'm quiet. That ain't what the book said. Do you have lips and a mouth? Ooh. He said what? Listen to it again. I want you to understand this if you don't understand anything. Oh, Lord, open thou my lips. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Bless his wonderful name. Listen. And my mouth shall sing aloud of thy righteousness and show forth thy praise. Now you say, Preacher Parker, I don't know about all this shouting and throwing your hands up and all this stuff that some folks do. Well, I want you to do something tonight, and you can do it a little later because my time is getting gone, but I want you to turn to Psalm 150. And I want you to read that psalm. And if I'm not mistaken, it's talking about praising God even in your dance. You say, Preacher, we're not Pentecost, we're Baptist. I didn't say whether you was Pentecostal or Baptist. I just said the Bible said to worship him and dance. That's what the Bible says. Check it out. But it says in the last verse of that psalm, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord.
Amen.
Now my question to us tonight is this. Are you breathing?
Amen.
Do you know the Bible teaches us that God inhabits the praise of his people? What does that mean, preacher? That means when we get to shout in the Spirit, now not this make-believe stuff and put on stuff to give you a good show. I'm talking about when the Spirit of God moves in our hearts and he wants us to praise him and lift our hands and shout the victory that we have in Jesus, and everything he does will always point people to him. It'll never point them to themselves or to others. It'll always point to him. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe it's time that Baptists got their shout back and shout for the glory of God. I said this the other night, and I'll say it again as I'm passing, because after tomorrow night I may not get to come back. I can remember in those days being a young pastor, bivocational, driving 40 miles one way to a church to get the privilege of preaching the gospel of Christ. I'd get up on Sunday morning and I'd mount that pulpit right along there where these senior ladies are sitting. There were some ladies sitting there, and I'd always watch them, Brother Sam, because if their bottom lip began to quiver, I knew I'd had to find a parking place. You say, what do you mean, preacher? I had to find a place to sit down and shut up, because I knew what was fixing to happen. And all of a sudden, Miss Cook would come straight up, and she wasn't but about 4 foot straight up, as tall as she could be. And I want you to know, she'd lift them hands toward heaven and she'd begin to shout and praise God. And I want you to know, the Spirit of God would fall on that place, and it wasn't just in a minute till the Spirit of God would move over just a little bit and catch somebody else in it, catch somebody else in it, catch somebody else in it, catch somebody else. And all of a sudden, I'd just sit down and say, go ahead and have it all you want. And they'd shout and praise God, and about that time somebody would slide out one of those pews. They'd mount this altar and they'd say, preacher, I ought to get saved. I want some of whatever they got. I'll tell you today, we've got quiet. This is a quiet church, and I understand that. But I'm just telling you, the Bible said that we ought to shout and we ought to praise the Lord. And then get our shout back, ladies and gentlemen, the Spirit of God will move across the congregation. Amen. He'll save the lost people, and he'll reclaim the wayward people. We just need again to let go.
Yes.
I got three things I want to say about it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Bless his wonderful and holy name. Oh, glory be to God tonight. I'm not going to have no 101 course when I get there. Bless God, I'm going to practice now like I told you tonight, and I'm going to be ready when I slip out of here. You say, preacher, I don't believe in that. Well, you don't believe the Bible then. That's what the Bible says. And we found the results of it. We're in the condition that we're in tonight. Let me push that just one more point. And I got one more and I'll close. I know Raymond's heard me tell this. His church has heard me tell this probably. Maybe I told it the last time here. I was here. I'm almost 66 years old. I can't forget. Sometimes I forget where I'm at. When I introduce myself, I can't find my name. But my grandma Parker, oh, bless her heart, Sam, she was a walking Bible. She was a walking Bible. My grandfather would get up to preach, and Grandma would look at him funny, and he'd say, all right, Mama, I'll park. And he'd sit down. She'd come out of that aisle, and she'd lift those hands toward heaven. And oh, you could see the glory of God all over. And she'd begin to shout. And back in those days, they wore their hair way up on their head. That was their glory. Then they wore it up on that bun. Any of you remember that? Yeah, you do. You remember that. You're not. You've seen that. And she had these old long bobby pins, Tommy. They're about that long. You don't see many of them anymore. And oh, Grandma would get to shouting. She'd get to praising God. And all of a sudden, you'd hear something go ping, ping, ping. And all of a sudden, that glory would fall down her back, way down beyond her hips, and she'd just praise God. People would get saved, and they'd say, why does Miss Parker get so excited? And Grandpa would say, she's been praying for that person 25 years to get saved. Now they get saved, we look at them like, duh. I remember the first young girl that got saved. I was preaching for a man. He called me and said, will you preach Sunday morning and Sunday night for me? I wasn't a pastor. I was just a young preacher.
And I don't remember exactly. You can ask my wife. She's got it recorded better than me. But I preached either that Sunday morning or that Sunday night. And there's a little girl about the age of this girl sitting here. Not a little girl, but age about her age. And she got saved. And you know what they caught up with me? I was almost two steps from the highway. You say, preacher, what was you doing out there? I was praising God. Somebody got saved.
Amen.
It's not done going plumb crazy. They said, preacher, come on back in the building. Come on back in the building. I said, no, I want the traffic to know what God's doing around me. But now we just kind of let it go by. We don't get excited, do we? Listen, do you know that every time somebody gets saved, heaven stands up? They begin to shout and praise the Lord. Let me hurry on. Let me show you lastly. David not only said, I'll teach transgressors thy ways, and I will sing aloud of thy righteousness, and I will show forth thy praise. But he said lastly, I will sacrifice myself. Look at what the Bible says in verse 16 and 17. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would give it. He had all. He's the king, remember. He could give all the sacrifices that was needed. But he said, you don't want those. He said, thou delightest not in burnt offerings. He could have given him all those. Then he says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O Lord, thou wilt not despise. Preacher Parker, what does that mean? That means that tonight we need to humble ourselves before an almighty God and confess our sins, repenting of them, and believe that God will forgive us. And then we need to say to him, here I am. Here I am. Not here's Frank. Not here's Pastor Sam. Here I am. Presenting our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our only intelligent worship. Think about that. He don't want what you got. He don't need what you've got. He's got all he needs. All he wants is you and me. And when we're willing to confess, repent, and believe him for forgiveness, I'll guarantee you, as we walk with a clean heart and a right spirit, God Almighty will use us for his glory.
Amen.
This is revival. Ritual without genuine repentance is useless.
Amen.
I close with this thought. Some feel like, well, God just can't use me. Aren't you glad Dr. Billy Graham didn't say that? Aren't you glad Sam Craven didn't say that? Aren't you glad Brother Raymond didn't say that? All you've got to do is be like King David. Cry for purity of heart. Cry for pardon from sin, and cry for a power to serve. And he will answer that prayer. Joy is restored when sin is gone, where a clean heart abides and where the Lord's will is being done. I want to ask you a very personal question tonight. Have you lost the joy of your salvation because of personal sin? If so, come as David did. Cry for pardon, purity, power, and God will restore the joy of his salvation to you and I. Tonight, if you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want to invite you tonight to join the family of God. You say, preacher, how can I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? As I said the other night, it's as easy as falling off a log backwards.
Amen.
Just believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He died on Calvary's tree in your stead for your sins. Believe that He was buried, and on the third day He was gloriously resurrected, and call on Him in confession. Call on Him in repentance. Call on Him believing that He'll save you. And the Bible says again, as I said last night in Romans 10 and 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Wayward child of God, you just need to come home. Saints, let's look. And if there's anything in our lives tonight that's not pleasing, not those things we're doing, but those things that we're not doing that we're supposed to be doing. The cry of King David. Father, this evening again, I have delivered my